what you're thinking. Oh, where's Elijah? We love Elijah. Elijah's the best. Well, folks, I've been wondering the same things. But we all have to be patient. You could say that we all have to wait for it. This is We Watch Movies. My name is Forrest Kelly, and this is my partner, Calvin Coolada. Lotta cool for a really cool person.
Thanks.
That would be my sweet, adorable sister. Emma.
Thanks.
Not my sweet, adorable friend, Elijah. He's dulcet. Emma's sweet and adorable.
He's what?
He's dulcet.
Okay.
Have you been listening to the episodes?
I'm not gonna lie, I missed the last two, but other than that, not the one that I was in. I listened to that one, but oh, I'm sorry. Hurt feelings here.
I have so many questions, but first off, how dare you?
Well, I listened to a part of The Great Silence, but then things got busy, bro. Things got busy.
Did they get bananas?
They went bananas.
Bananas?
Yeah, like, I had to write up, you know, summaries of my top five favorite movies, and then this guy was like, can you come on my podcast? And I was like, sure, Bran. So, sure, bro. So, I missed.
I misspelt bananas.
I thought you did that on purpose.
No, I'm just an idiot.
I thought you did it on purpose.
Nope. I'm just a moron.
Welcome to the podcast where we are well informed.
Bless his heart. He's a real idiot. Not just one of those fake ones you see on TV.
I was like, oh, I'd sound like an idiot if I corrected him, and he totally did it on purpose.
Isn't it? It's B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Let's write it down, people.
Bananas.
Bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Let's say it together. Bananas. Oh. On three. One, two, three. Bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This isn't We Watch Movies. This is spelling.
This day has been bananas.
And we can spell it for you if you'd like again, or you could just press the rewind button.
This is We Watch Movies.
Crazy things happen when Elijah's not here.
Our podcast has nothing to do with bananas
or
today.
Or spelling.
But it does have a little something to do with pineapples.
Ooh, the segue.
Wanna split a pineapple? That's right. This is a very psych special. All things about the hit show that ran from 2006 to 2014, Psych. It was a crime detective comedy show about a fake psychic, real detective, and his partner, Gus. Burton Guster. Gus T.T. Showbiz. Gus Funny Pants Jackson.
Extra T for extra talent.
You know, that's right. Methuselah Honeysuckle.
That's gotta be one of the best.
Gee Buttersnaps. How would you know that? That name was mentioned on a top secret, highly secure military facility.
Which one?
They're all that way.
ain't that the truth?
Psych, as I just said, was a hit show. Many of the fans refer to themselves as psychos. Very original, don't you think?
Very original.
The show was full of running gags, funny nicknames, pineapples, murder in the first and second degree, and a lot of theme episodes, a lot of episodes based on
other things,
Indiana other movies. Jones. There was an episode based off of Indiana Jones, The Shining, The Hangover.
What's the Dual Spires?
Spires, which was based off of Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There was.
Ooh, I just made the connection. Dual Spires, Twin Peaks. It just clicked just now. Yeah, folks, it's bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Bananas.
Okay, continue.
The show stars James Rhode as the main protagonist, the immature yet highly intelligent, but hides it behind his own immaturity, Sean Spencer. His best friend,
since childhood,
Burton Guster, is played by the great Dule Hill. He is known for his bald head and his tap dancing skills. Also, did you know that Dule Hill left the show The West Wing to do this show.
I didn't.
Do you even know what The West Wing is?
Vaguely, yes.
Yes.
Kind of. I've heard of it.
It also stars Krista Nelson, Maggie Lawson, Timothy Omundson.
Omundson. Timothy something.
It's Timothy O. Timo.
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 And Corbin Burnson.
And Corbin Burnson. Playing Gus. No, not Gus's dad.
No.
Playing Sean's dad.
Sean's dad. You also have tons
of... Harry Spencer.
Tons of guest stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like the William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
And John Cena.
I'm sorry, it's Mr. William Shatner. That was a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reference.
In case you didn't know.
You probably didn't.
But, you know, that's why you listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also...
For unwitty banter and random facts that nobody cares about.
That's why you listen.
Yes.
But there's also John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
You have...
Lori Loughlin.
Lori Loughlin. Yeah, she's just the best person, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. You got tons of people.
She's pretty good. She knows a thing or two about college admissions.
Yeah, she does. And how to work the system, sort of. But that's neither here nor there.
Oh! She just did a psych catchphrase. And she just passed it off so blasé, it works.
I didn't even think about it. That's how indoctrinated this show is into me. Wait for it.
Wait for it.
Bum, bum, bum.
Muffins.
All right, we should move on.
Want to split a pineapple?
Sure. Just kidding.
Doesn't man pressed and purple
with a streak of magenta.
Yeah, so this show is great. Emma and I love it. It's one of my favorites. It's one of your favorites as well.
It is.
One of the running gags in the show is every time Sean introduces himself and his partner, Gus, he says, "My name is Sean Spencer, and this is my partner." And then he comes up with a silly name for old Gus.
And Gus always accepts it proudly, which is what makes it double funny.
Not all the time.
Most of the time.
One time he was like, "My name is Sean Spencer, and this is my partner, Homeskillet." And he's like, "Don't ever call me Homeskillet." So do you know, throughout the show's run, do you know how many names Bert and Guster got?
I don't.
104.
Oh boy.
And I will read you about as many as I can before I get tired. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Die Harder. Matt. Big Head Burton. Fingers. Homeskillet. Big Baby Burton. Bert the Billowy Bear. Curtis Blackstar. Chocolate Columbo. Magic Head. Spellmaster. Super Smeller. Slicks. Peter Panic. Gus TT Showbiz. The extra T is for extra talent. Ovaltine Jenkins. Shuni U-Turn Singleton. Vernus Lambert Watkins. Bud. Knickknack, Bruton Gaster, Lavender Gooms, Lemongrass Gogaloop, Squirts McIntosh, Weepy Boy Santos, Stuart Lee, Galileo Humpkins, Gus Silly Pants Jackson, Fearless Guster, Shmuel Cohens, Methuselah Honeysuckle, Shutterfly Simmons, Patty Simcox, Chesterfield McMillan, Felicia Fancybottom, 10, Scrooge Jones, Deandre Pride, Hummingbird, Sotel Miaka, Wally Alley, Art Vandelay. Seinfeld reference number 2 in 2 weeks.
It comes with me.
Trapezus Milkington, Sterling Cooper, Burton Olakan Guster, Hollaback Alcha, Jazz Hands Gus Brown, John Slade, don't ever call me John Slade, Detective Miles, Greg, Donut, Holstein, Ron Davis, Bob Adams, Harry Monroe, Rich Fingerland, Black Magic Cheswick, Sean, Guy Buttersnaps, Clementine Willy Suggs, and I'll finish it off with Dion Richmond. Dion Richmond, who played Gus in The Cosby Show. No, Dion Richmond, who played Bud in The Cosby Show. That was one of the running gags in the show, is everyone said, weren't you in the Cosby Show? To Gus.
And all the viewers are like, was he in the Cosby Show?
So in the series finale, when Dionne Richmond shows up as Gus's boss,
you're like, boy. Yes. That's one of the best things.
Yeah. So, like you said, a lot of A celebrities show up in this show.
Like Dionne Richmond.
Dionne Richmond. The William Shatner.
The Kevin Sorbo.
William Devane.
And other people. Corbin Burnson's there. No.
Danny Glover.
Danny Glover shows up?
Danny Glover. Not Donald Glover.
Oh. Danny Glover. That's right. That's right. Lots of people in the show. Anyway, moving on. What are we going to be talking about today, Forrest?
Well, Emma, we are going to be talking about CC. Clap your hands.
What? Okay.
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 That's just another of the many names of Burton Guster. No, today we are talking about, in our first segment, Psych the movie and Psych the musical. We'll talk about them briefly. And we will, in the second segment, be talking about our top 10 favorite Psych episodes. That's right, back-to-back top 10 second segment weeks in a row. And this is the time where I should mention to you, otherwise Elijah might hurt me, because every time he's here, he has to do it, because I always forget. Obligatory spoiler alert is now in effect. Everything we say from here on out is a potential spoiler.
For anything Psych.
Or anything.
Or maybe La La Land will pop up, or maybe even some other movies. There was the La La Land reference that has to be in every episode, but if you listen to this show, there's just an all-around spoiler alert for La La Land, let's just be honest here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
I love La La Land.
That was just my ad, Helen.
That is such a good movie.
Isn't it? I mean, Mia and Sebastian.
No, it's just so good. You see the arc of their relationship, right? So the opening sequence where they're on the highway and you immediately understand what is important to them. Uh-huh. Just by them sitting in their cars.
Right.
So Mia is in LA trying to become an actress, and you can see her working on a part, practicing a part that she's about to audition for.
Can I butt in a second? Mm-hmm. When I was watching it for the first time,
mm-hmm.
I was like thinking to myself, knowing that she plays an actress in this movie, I didn't realize that she was going through a script in her first lines of the movie, and I was going, wow, she really is putting her heart into just these first lines. And I was actually thinking to myself, that must be really hard. I don't know if I could do that. And then a couple seconds later, she puts it down and checks her script. And she's like, oh, it's a different word. And I was like, wow, she's a really good actress. Because she was playing that she was acting.
She was pretending that she was pretending. No, Emma Stone is a great actress. And it really hits home when she great asked name that. Too. Yes.
LOLs.
No, it's LOLs. If you say it, it's LOLs.
LOLs. Okay, I'm being schooled here. We should have just talked about La La Land.
No, because we're doing that in a couple weeks.
Are we? Or, oh.
Not you.
I met you. Just me and Elijah. Just feeling at home. I met you guys. I'm not trying to take over anything, folks. I'll be listening.
No, because it really hits home, because you see how good when she does that first audition with the phone call and she's written off by the casting director. Mm-hmm. You can see how great of an actress she is. And so it's almost heartbreaking in some of those later auditions where she's not really putting her best effort in, because she's kind of lost heart and lost any hope of getting a part.
It's true.
But going back to that first sequence, when you see Sebastian in his car transposing Japanese folk song by Thelonious Monk, and he keeps rewinding that one section of the tape so he can listen to the song, mm-hmm. and
play it by ear.
Yeah, play it by ear. You immediately capture and understand what's important to them. And when you follow out their days, just those first 3, 4, 5 minutes of their days when they first follow Mia, and then they flash back to follow Sebastian's day,
you really understand their characters, and it perfectly, and it's masterfully done by Damien Chazelle.
Can I just fast forward to that part where Sebastian is playing a Japanese folk song on the piano at mm-hmm. his home, and he keeps going to replay that one part on the record player? I can just point out that that's hard to do by ear, but also, have you ever tried to get the needle at the same spot on a record? Just, he has really good eyesight, eye-hand coordination, put the needle on the same exact spot.
I mean, we are talking about Ryan Gosling.
So, you know, he don't need no double hand double.
Ryan Gosling saved jazz.
What about jazz? From Chicago?
I remember when I saved jazz.
We should probably stay on topic.
There's this great, a couple years ago, Ryan Gosling hosted SNL, and his opening monologue was about how he saved jazz. And there was this great, I'm going to just paraphrase it, but there was this great line in the monologue where he was like, where he says something to the effect of, I remember the first day on the set of Blade Runner 2049, and Harrison Ford walked in, and he walked up to me and said, Ryan, what the heck is jazz?
It's great imagining Harrison Ford just be like, what the heck is jazz?
Ryan, what the heck is jazz?
That's awesome.
It is so good. Now I realize we're 16 minutes into this podcast and we've gone off talking about La La Land.
Stay on topic, Force.
Stay on target. Stay on target. That, about 5 minutes ago, is the point where Elijah would say, stay on topic.
I tried. I tried to rein it in for you, but...
You're not as good as Elijah.
I'm sorry. I can't be assertive.
I kind of just zero in on La La Land naturally.
I mean, it is your podcast, so I'm just here temporarily. Even though in my mind, I think I'm coming back. At least it comes out that way.
So you just don't feel right saying, behave, right? Okay, we are talking about, spoilers are in effect for Psych the movie and Psych the musical and Psych the show in general. We'll start with Psych the musical, okay? Mm-hmm. It was, I believe, the 13th and 14th episodes of season 6 or 7. Don't quote me on that. I don't remember.
Okay, no quoting.
But it was its own little thing, right? Psych did a lot of things, like we mentioned about doing these theme episodes, and kind of playing off of tropes of the movie industry. They even remade one of their own episodes in, I think, season 6 or 7. They remade an episode from season 1.
Really?
Yeah.
Which episode?
Cloudy with a Chance of Murder. They remade it. And so when the idea of Psych the musical came out, it just felt natural.
As Forrest likes to say, the second best modern musical. Second to, I won't mention it because, you know, he might go down that path again, but the movie we were just talking about.
It is...
Stay on target.
It's unironically my second favorite musical behind La La Land.
But anyway.
The epilogue of La La Land, am I right?
No! Okay. Stay on target. Right.
Sorry. Psych the musical. It opens up, it is about this mental patient that has escaped from his mental facility. Sanatorium. Thank you.
Yes. Big word. Unlike bananas.
He was B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Did we spell it right?
Bananas.
Bananas.
Unlike... I'm just going to restart. A former playwright has been institutionalized in a sanatorium, and 7 years after the theater burnt down during a production of his play... He escapes from the sanatorium because someone is putting his play back on without his name attached to it. And that...
Ouch. It's not something you do to a crazy person.
And he immediately goes on a murder rampage. Or does he? Sean has his doubts. Lassie is sure
that the playwright Z is the rampaging murderer. The story unfolds in a very melodious way.
How about that? How about that opening sequence? Tell me about the opening song and dance routine. What did you think of it? What did it remind you of?
So it opens up to Sean sweeping psych office with his little apron on, and if you've seen Beauty and the Beast, my mind immediately.
Who hasn't seen Beauty and the Beast?
I'm just saying, there are people out there, bro. There's people who need this podcast. You should do a Beauty and the Beast special. I'm just kidding. That would be silly. But
we'll do the animated and the remake, the live action remake.
Yeah, there wasn't much to be said about that one.
With
Emma Watson, who did a terrible job, might I say. I'm not asking, I'm saying.
That is our third Emma reference. So we'll have to mention Emma Thompson.
Oh, who's also in that movie. She plays Mrs. Potts. So wow. There you go. It four works Emmas. Perfectly. Right there. Anyway, it opens up on him sweeping the psych office with his apron. Mm-hmm. And the tune starts, and you immediately think of the opening song in Beauty and the Beast, Little Town. I forget. I think it's called that. But where Belle's kind of walking around the town. But you see Sean kind of starting to come and dance outside the psych office. He meets up with Gus, and he's singing about doing being a fake detective.
Right.
Or a fake psychic, real detective, I mean.
A lot of the...
Dancing under the Santa Barbara skies.
A lot of the musical numbers in this film kind of jump between different genres of musical. The fantasy, like you were talking about, like the storybook fantasy, and even vaudeville.
Yeah.
Right. Lots of fun. I love that opening dance routine.
It's great.
It's a great entrance into this episode, this musical, and it's just a lot of fun. I will say on the outset, I don't think that Rhode or Hill are the best of singers or dancers, but I think that adds even further to the charm.
Hill does a pretty good job. Hill does a pretty good job.
Dooley is a professional tap dancer, which means he's good at everything, right?
For sure.
Actually, I don't know if he's professional, but he is a tap dancer.
He's a great dancer. He does some pretty impressive things. But I love in this opening sequence when they're going through the park and you just see Gus in the background doing the Beat It knife fight with just some random guy, and then a cop comes up and is chasing this guy around, and at the end, the very end of the routine, the cop and the guy with the knife are like dancing alongside Sean and Gus, and then when the routine is over, he just continues to chase him. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, another 80s reference. There are a lot of 80s references in the show. One thing I want to point out about the musical numbers is they were all written by the show creator, Steve Franks.
Interesting.
Who also wrote and sings the theme song to the show.
Impressive.
I know, you know.
Do I? No, I'm just kidding. No, it's definitely impressive.
By the way, I just want to point out that theme song is one of my favorite theme songs.
It's super catchy.
It's so good. And there are a lot of different variations of the theme song when they had different theme episodes.
Like Boys to Men.
Boys to Men came on.
There.
Kurt Smith did a rendition of it.
There you go.
When they did the Dual Spires episode, which was a parody of Twin Peaks, they had the original... They had the person who came on to do... Who did the score for Twin Peaks come on to do a version of the theme song for that episode. It's a lot of fun. It's really cool. It's a really unique show in that manner. One of the things I loved most about Psych the Musical is that we got to see Mr. Yang again.
Yeah. Mr. Yang. Yeah. It is awesome. The opening scene in the sanatorium when you realize that she was kind of Z, the playwright's kind of confidant. And she's just kind of standing there singing on stage, talking to a piano player who's not there. And you realize that they're going to have to kind of do as she asks them to get what they want from her. So they kind of take her out. They do take her out of the sanatorium with a cop guard. And it's just interesting having this weird relationship she has with Sean that is clearly pointed out by his dad later on when Mr. Yang starts Skyping him.
We should say that Mr. Yang is a woman.
Yeah, it is. It's a woman.
The serial killer, Mr. Yang. Or just Yang.
Just Yang.
Played by Ally Sheedy, who was a member of the Brat Pack, was in The Breakfast Club.
Interesting.
Another thing to note is four of the five members of the Breakfast Club cast have been in Psych.
Really?
Yeah. Judd Nelson. He appeared in the episode Death is in the Air. Molly Ringwald appeared in one of the episodes. Ally Sheedy, like we just mentioned, is Yang.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Michael Hall was briefly in the show as Harris Trout, the interim police chief after Chief Vic was kicked out.
The guy everybody hates.
the only one of the five that has not made it into the show yet, and that might change on July 15th when Psych the Movie 2 comes out, is Emilio Estevez is the only one of the Breakfast Club that has not been on the show yet.
Interesting. It's gotta happen. We'll look for that.
Also, another note about Ally Sheedy. She appeared in X-Men Apocalypse as Scott Summers' teacher.
Did she?
She did.
Interesting. I didn't notice that. I find a lot of things interesting at the moment because I've used that word like 10 times.
And she sends him to detention, which is funny because one of Ally Sheedy's iconic scenes from one of her 80s films, I can't remember which one it was. I want to say War Games, but I'm probably wrong. She's disrupting class, and I think she gets sent to the principal.
Is it because she's got red burning lasers coming out of her eyes? No.
No. Nope.
Nope. Which is what Cyclops is having issues with. But
thank you.
In case you didn't track. She's a great job as Yang. You love her, but you hate her.
I mean, I just love her. She's great. There's
and
no
I'm
hate.
I'm so glad I didn't detonate your mom. And I wish I could not detonate her all over again.
She's hilarious. Yang, in case we haven't mentioned that yet, is a serial killer. She is the yin yang killer. I'm assuming we will talk more about the yin yang series in a little bit here. What do you think of the story overall? We watched this the other night again, just to catch up with it. My initial take is, outside of the musical numbers, and it runs for an hour 27 minutes, the musical numbers are a lot of fun. But I would say that if you removed those pieces of the story, I think it's it would be a bottom tier Psych episode.
Yeah.
Otherwise. But the charm is the fact that you get these musical numbers, and I think the one that sticks out to me is, there are two, but I've heard it both ways.
Well, that's because you get Lassie dancing.
You get Lassie dancing, and it's kind of a dance off between Sean and Carlton and Lassie, and it is great. And then Jamaican Spectre Man, so
Ripper,
leave them prostitutes alone.
Hey, that's the best. I think that's literally the best part of that movie.
Yeah.
Jamaican Inspector Man, we'll party like it's 1888. Yeah. It was, and the scene where Gus is trying to riff on stage. I forget who it is. Is it Jules and Carlton who walk up to the side of the stage and
What's
just see
on?
Gus just tap dancing?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
No, it's hilarious. Definitely the highlights of this are the musical numbers, like we talked about. Dulé Hill is great. I love Gus in this. But like I said, nothing else really would.
Yeah, it's not like captivating like the Yin Yang episodes are.
No, it's not. And the comedy isn't quite there. I do love how every time Sean tries to get Gus's attention, he walks up behind him, grabs him, cups his mouth, and pulls him out of the room. And he does that several times.
But one of my favorite scenes is during the police briefing after Yang has escaped from police custody.
Mm-hmm.
is when Sean gets a Skype call from her during the police briefing, and he goes into one of the offices, which is a fully glassed all the way around so everybody can see him, and she's like, write me a song, because she has this theme of wanting them to write songs with her for her to get clues from her. And you just see, without any music, you just see Sean dancing to his phone, and then he comes out, grabs Gus by the mouth, and brings him in there to help him write a song with him. It's pretty great.
Yeah, definitely the rapport between Sean and Gus is the best part outside of the music, I think, in this. Turns out that Z is not the killer, much to Lassie's chagrin. But he wants to exact his revenge on the person who originally sabotaged his play 7 years prior. I say sabotaged, but he had basically framed Z for murder. Opening night of the second play of Ripper, Z kidnaps this guy. I believe he's one of the producers of the play. He kidnaps him, takes him below the stage, and while this is all going on, the scene director is sitting there in his chair with his script. And he's so focused on the show. Every time someone, I believe Lassie, Jules, Sean, they all come up to him. Have you seen the producer? And he's like, seriously, now? They went that way. I'm calling a play here.
He's just so enthralled with the play. Meanwhile, somebody was just taken by somebody to be murdered.
No, it is a lot of fun.
Which is great, because Gus is on stage tap dancing, which is not a part of the script.
I know, that part was hilarious to me. So
there's a lot of charm in this movie, or this episode, but
I think it's very rewatchable because of the musical numbers. And like I said before, not the greatest singing, not the greatest dancing, but I think that lends to the charm of the show.
Right.
Because I'm sure that
there are no Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, but, you know, I'm going to end that. Another
thing about La La Land
we're going to end that reference right there.
No, it's certainly something that if any TV show was going to make a musical, it would have been Psych. I think on the onset of Psych, when they started the run, probably didn't expect to be making a musical, but I'm sure they jumped at the chance to make the musical.
Right.
I'd give this about a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah. I would probably be right there with you.
All right. Let's move on to Psych the Movie, which the show ends in 2014. In the finale of this series, Juliet moves from Santa Barbara to San Francisco with Chief Vic, who becomes the chief of police of the San Francisco Police Department. And Jules comes along to become the head detective. And Sean, who had been dating Jules, follows in tow with his big baby Burton, Gus.
who in that last episode is humming and hawing and driving back and forth between San Francisco and Santa Barbara trying to decide if he actually wants
just
to go.
Just making a giant U-turn.
Crying.
In a parking lot. It is... a great episode. But the final moment of the entire series, Sean finally gets down on his knee, because the romance between Sean and Jules has been budding since season one, and you finally built to this point after 8 seasons, and Sean finally proposes to Jules, and what happens?
Somebody takes the ring.
Someone runs by and steals
the ring. What kind of city is this?
So this show ends with Sean and Gus hopping in the car to chase after this person.
The blueberry.
3 years later. Actually, it was the
cranberry?
No, it was the training car.
Was it?
Yeah, from the driving school with the two steering wheels. 3 years later, in 2017, is when the movie came out, and it opens up with Sean at an illegal fence trying to find this ring. It should be noted, for all you Potter fans out there, specifically Elijah, that Sean is dressed up as. Actually, I don't know the guy's name. I'm going to talk while I find out the guy's
name. All right. Well, he is dressed up as somebody who we will find out in a moment. For those Potter fans out there, Google quickly for us. My words are few. But no, you kind of...
Talk about the chase.
You end up being... he ends up coming face to face with these criminals who run this... What did you call it? Illegal fence? And so he's...
Hagrid, folks. He's dressed up as Hagrid. He is of the House of Gryffindor. His parent was Fridwulfa. He is 8'6", and his blood status is part human. Totally did not look that up.
Yeah, that was just waiting in the filing cabinet in his
Sean
head.
Is dressed up as Hagrid.
With a half beard
who
underneath.
Who looks like a hobo? What kind of man wears a beard over a beard?
I thought he was a hobo.
Sean goes on the run from running from these criminals, and he ends up in Gus's workplace.
Under his desk.
And we finally get our reintroduction of
Gus with a beard.
After 3 years. Gus with a beard!
Eating a sourdough sandwich. You know it's sourdough, Sean.
Won't you slide half of that under here for me?
You must be out of your mind. I love that when these criminals are chasing Sean, they're just running through this, like, pharmaceutical office, and this guy's having this conversation, and he's just like...
Totally bashing Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah,
also,
man.
Second reference to Neil deGrasse Tyson in 2 weeks.
I was thinking about that when we watched it. We are nothing but consistent. You know, since Forrest likes to impersonate Neil deGrasse Tyson. But anyway, so you see this guy kind of just having this casual conversation, and like these three criminals run behind him, and he's just like, do we have a security person? And then the next scene is you see this short, small security guy just walking.
I'm gonna need some ID.
And he just gets sucker punched in the face.
And later you see him being like held upside down by these criminals. But it's great because Sean's like, Gus, he's like, pull the
fire alarm.
And he's like, why? Everybody will leave. He's like, exactly. So Gus just gets up and goes and confronts the criminals. And he's just like, were you looking for a hobo? Yeah, I think you went off the elevator or something like that. It's just awesome. Total
Gus. Did I tell you you could borrow my Hagrid costume?
I missed that. I totally missed that. But
after the escapade trying to find Sean's engagement ring to Jules, we are introduced to Jules and her new partner. Mm-hmm. Shortly thereafter, her partner is attacked in his home by a blonde British Zachary Levi.
Whose name was not Billy.
Not
in this
Billy.
Movie.
Billy, that's him.
Movie he was.
It's not Billy.
Do I look like a Billy?
Do I look like a Billy?
He just does such a great job.
What's his name in the show? In the movie?
Oh my goodness, what is his name? I totally forget.
Oh,
all I
oh
see
my
is...
goodness. Emma, talk again while I look it up.
We're well prepared. But anyway, he's...
I'm well prepped.
He's... Because you have Google. No, he's kind of confronted by these people in his home unexpectedly. And it's actually just Zachary Levi's character at first. And then Jules' partner pulls out a gun out from his gingerbread house.
It's more like, boom, gun.
Boom, gun. And then he makes a reference to how Jules is big on home security. But then Zachary Levi's character.
Thin White Duke. That is Zachary Levi's name.
Thin White Duke.
Not Billy. Thin White Duke. The Duke.
He has his two kind of goonies come out of other rooms, and they end up shooting Jules's partner, who ends up in the ICU. And then you see Sean and Gus kind of not breaking into, but coming to the ICU room, and her partner is comatose. And you see kind of like this group of police officers and just Chief Vic running down through kind of like a police briefing or whatever. So they kind of get a little bit of information, but then Jules kind of runs them out of the place because she doesn't want them to have anything to do with it.
Right.
And you can chime in here because I'm getting short of breath. No. but it's just really
interesting. I think you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. So, and then it kind of escalates. You see them go to looking for this computer chip that was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them.
They end up at an
asylum.
An abandoned insane asylum in the middle of the woods.
Which is scary, but what I love is how calm they are and how much Gus will just be like, I don't want to do this, but okay.
Can I also point out how many references there are to 2017 in this movie? Pokemon Go.
I know.
Get Out. It's like, come on. Come on, son.
Come on, son.
These things are so dated.
But, and then... One of my favorite things is when they're in, like, whatever, they find the computer room after the whole escapade with the dog, which is awesome,
yeah.
With Gus's organic turkey, a teriyaki cherry turkey jerky or something like that.
Organic teriyaki jerky.
Teriyaki jerky.
$17 an ounce.
I think it's 19, but who's counting?
Apparently you are, my friend.
What is that reference to?
Rocket Man.
Is it...
Not the Elton John biopic, but the 1990-something.
If you haven't seen that movie, you should watch that movie.
Okay, that is not an endorsed selection by We Watch Movies.
What? It's a great movie.
Just don't get your hopes up, folks.
It's a great family movie.
All right.
Anyway, but moving on, don't you love that movie? It's not La La Land, but, you know. Anyway.
Let's talk about Psych, the movie.
Okay, you're one to talk. No, I'm just kidding.
I want to kind of fast forward to the end, if you permit me. One of the two interactions that I love in this, and I don't want to get too much into the ending, because we're short of time here, because this is technically a mini-cast, as I'm calling it, but I love the two interactions, the first one being Sean and Gus and their interactions with El Provide. The fence.
Oh, yeah.
He shows up at their office. Psych Francisco. One word, all lowercase, PH for the F. No wonder they're not getting business. El Provide hunts them down after Sean stole from him. El Provide being the fence. And it is this great interaction.
We bonded, man. No, I'll have to kill you because... No, you know my name is Ted. But we didn't know that until you just told us.
And then Sean feigns to be a psychic, and El Provide asks to get his, you know, his fortune told or whatever, and there's this great bit about the Merle of Haggard's, which is a reference that some of you will get, most of you will not, and I'm not going to explain
but
it.
But if you have any character, you'll get it. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Harsh words spoken. I'm just kidding. If you don't like country music, that's whatever, but we probably won't
be friends.
I said
we shouldn't reference it. Sorry. And here you are.
Referencing. All right. I'm sorry.
All right. Why don't you go dig a ditch and jump in it, okay?
Then you won't have a co-host. And you'll just be talking. You'd be talking about La La Land still. Where would we be now?
My co-host is gone now, so we'll be talking about La La Land. No. I love that. And then at the end of the episode of the movie where El Provide shows back up, he's like, everything you told me would happen, you were 100% right. Oh, it is awesome. One of the other interactions I love is
because McNabb made everything happen,
right? McNabb. One of the other interactions I love is with one of the Duke's henchmen.
I forget his name. Do you want to Google it while I talk again?
The debonair black swordsman.
There you go. I'm not even scared right now. I'm just dazzled. In the climax when he are going to kill Sean and Gus, or at least fight or whatever, he's kind of swinging his sword around in a great way. And Sean and Gus are just like taken back by it. It's one of the best parts of the movie, honestly. One of the best lines. I'm not even scared.
Right. No, it is great. They are captured by the Duke and things unfold. Stuff goes down. And basically the whole gang is there with the exception of Lassie, who is only briefly in the show.
FaceTime.
Which is why I'm so excited that the second movie is called Lassie Comes Home.
That is a great name.
Yes, it is.
Excitement.
But they're all captured, and all the two henchmen are going to take them down, and this swordsman guy, very debonair, before he attacks Sean and Gus, he introduces himself. He's got a very nice dulcet tone, almost as dulcet as Elijah's, and shakes their hand, and they're like, "Oh, how you doing?" And he starts, you know, doing all these things with the sword. And like Emma said, they're like, "I'm not even scared. I'm just impressed." And they both start slow clapping. It is hilarious. I love that sequence. It's one of the best bits from the entire series, in my opinion. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No. It's good. Just it's watch good. It.
I'd give it like an 8, 8.5 out of 10.
There's a lot to be said about this movie.
But that's all we have to say.
Reference to a recording gone bad.
Yeah. I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10. What would you give it?
I'd probably say... I'd say an 8.
An 8?
Yeah.
I like it. We should also mention that Ralph Macchio shows up. The ageless wonder.
That's because he didn't start aging until he was like 20.
No, he didn't start aging until he was like 60. I don't even know if he's 60 yet.
I don't think he's 60
yet. I think he's like 56. He's no William Zabka, but...
Who's William Zabka?
Are you even a Karate Kid fan?
Wait. Who's William Zabka?
He's Johnny.
Oh.
By the way,
oh.
It was recently announced the other day that the Karate Kid series Cobra Kai is moving from YouTube Red as they're moving away from scripted programming, and... The show is moving from YouTube to Netflix, where the third season will premiere.
Interesting.
This year.
Interesting.
So that's pretty exciting because season 2 left on a really dark note.
We should title this podcast a psych special and some other things.
Very psych special, plus La La Land, plus bananas.
Plus Rocket Man.
Yeah.
And Karate Kid.
We kind of go crazy here.
Next week, Elijah will harness it in for you.
It makes sense, because Karate Kid is from the 80s. Psych does all the 80s references.
It's true. And Ralph Macchio is there, so we segued well.
As Nick Gonforth, the cowardly police academy trainer.
Trainer. Exactly.
You ready to move on to segment 2?
I am.
Segment 2. We are ranking our top 10 favorite episodes of the entire series. Emma, do you have anything you want to say before we jump into these?
I don't.
Okay. I've got one honorable mention.
You do?
Yeah.
What is it? Lay it on me.
It's the episode, it's season 1, episode 10, From the Earth to the Starbucks. And it is an episode where Sean finds, it opens up where Sean finding Lassie in a bar drunk, lamenting about his woes in life and how he's frustrated that he can't solve a case. So Sean decides to help Lassie solve a case without Lassie knowing it. It's notable because they go to the planetarium. Gus falls for the planetarium tour guide. And the iconic line, "Heard about Pluto?" It's messed up, right? Is debuts in this episode.
That's great. That's one awesome. Of the most iconic lines.
So that is my own lone honorable mention. Emma, why don't you kick us off at number 10?
Number 10. Okay. My number 10 favorite episode for Psych.
Right. And we should go, we'll do the season and episode and then the title of the episode.
Okay. Is season 6, episode 7, In for a Penny. This episode features the William Shatner.
Mr. William Shatner.
Oh, we also mentioned Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in this episode, so there's another mention. But, or at least we reference it. This episode is about William Shatner plays Jules' dad, who is a con artist, and Sean and Gus think they're doing a good thing by bringing him back into her life, and it just kind of all goes awry. But I just love it because William Shatner's there, and who doesn't love a good TJ Hooker?
Thank you for recognizing him as TJ Hooker, not Captain Kirk.
If you really do
of the
like
USS Enterprise.
William Shatner, then you know TJ Hooker.
Captain James T. Kirk or TJ Hooker. Romano.
Corgi and Stacey.
That's a great show.
It's a good show.
That's not the show we're talking about. Another 80s show, so it fits.
It fits. And William Shatner was there, so I just segued.
I love that show. It's great. That episode, it's great.
What's your number 10?
My number 10 is from season 2, episode 1, American Duos. This episode is a parody of
American Idol.
American Idol.
Yes.
Thank you. Sean and Gus go on to the American Duos show to solve a murder. Or an attempted murder. Many attempted murders. It is has the guest star Tim Curry, a.k.a. It, a.k.a. Oh. Rooster, a.k.a.
Annie reference.
The guy in Clue, a.k.a. all a sorts of things. A.k.a.
It he just voiced
Palpatine, Darth Sidious, in season 6 of Star Wars The Clone Wars after Ian Abercrombie died.
It just, I totally just realized who that guy was. He looks so different.
Oh, Rooster.
Rooster.
Oh, yeah. No, it's hilarious, and Tim Curry gives a great performance as a really
hateable,
really despisable judge who just is the worst. Also, great Tears for Fear / Thriller mashup by Sean and Gus. They perform, and Jules is she's got like an Olivia Newton-John thing going on this entire episode.
It's awesome.
It is great. Emma, what's your number 9?
My number 9 is season 2, episode 1, American Duos.
Whoa. It's like we were on the same brain connection.
Like
there.
The same page, man. Yeah. And what I like about this one is all the things Forrest just said. He beat me to it. I love the scene where Jules is like training them how to dance and stuff. That scene is great. I love the stereotypes in the judges and the dance scene. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love Gus as Michael Jackson?
Most people would consider this the... A lot of people actually consider this the best episode of the whole series.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely up there for me. It's one of my favorites. It's the earliest entry on my list. Number 9 from season 4, episode 1, Extradition, British Columbia.
Do you mean 8?
No, I mean season 4, episode 1.
No, I meant your number 9. You said number 9. But anyway,
yeah, number 9, Extradition, British Columbia. My number 9.
Right, sorry people, sorry.
Bless your heart.
I'm just a co-host, a stand-in co-host.
Bless your heart. Number 9, season 4, episode 1. Extradition, British Columbia. I love this episode. Sean and Gus go on a romantic getaway to British Columbia. I say that because, well, I just want, you gotta watch the episode to find that out, because that is part of the charm of this episode. But while they're on their vacation, they come across the international art thief, Pierre Despereau. Or as Sean likes to say, Despereux. We're introduced to this character who shows up 4 or 5 times throughout the series. He's played by Cary Elwes, Elwes. He's got a weird last name from The Princess Bride.
Yeah, he's great. We love
he's
Pierre
awesome.
Despereaux.
Pierre Despereaux is great. This is my favorite of all 4. I don't think it's the funniest. I don't think it has the best bits of the 4 or 5 that he's in. However, unlike the other ones of the Pierre Despereaux episodes, I think it doesn't fall into as many psych tropes as the others. So that's why it stands out to me also. It's just great. And then we have the climax where Lassie arrests Pierre Despereaux and he says, "I bet you're not too happy to be seeing me right about now." And Despereaux looks at him and says, "I have absolutely no idea who you are."
That's amazing.
What is your number?
8. My number 8 is Meat is Murder, but Murder is also Murder, which is season 2, episode 6. Sorry, I did that out of order.
How dare.
This episode is about Gus's uncle coming to town. Mm-hmm. And Gus has kind of told his uncle some lies, said he was the psychic of the pair. So, because Sean's a good friend, Sean is letting Gus be the psychic the whole time. His uncle's in town, and he's been feeding him the clues and hints or whatever in the whole episode. It's just really funny. I love this episode.
No, I love that interaction and that dynamic of Gus being the psychic.
Oh, yes! I feel it!
I also love the montage of the three of them going around to all the different restaurants and trying the food. It's awesome.
What is your number 8?
From season 5, episode 12, Dual Spires. The best, like I said, it is a parody of Twin Peaks. Sean and Gus go to this remote town in the middle of the mountains of California, I guess. Not even on a map. This little town for the Cinnamon Festival. And there's some fishy business going down. Also, there are a lot of the cast from Twin Peaks show up in this episode, which...
Really?
Yeah. You and I wouldn't know, but...
We wouldn't know.
It does show. Including the Reverend... Keep talking while I look it up.
Reverend somebody.
Tell him the line. The best line.
Oh. So Gus and Sean are at the Cinnamon Festival, and as you're kind of going through this town, you realize that they know nothing about the outside world. And some little kid just looks at Gus and says, "Excuse me, sir, are you Frederick Douglass?"
No. You gotta do it right. "Hey, mister, are you Frederick Douglass?"
It's amazing. I love this episode, too. What were you Googling again?
I was trying to find the name of the Reverend guy.
We'll bring it up later. It's on my list.
Ray Wise as Father Peter Westley. Ray Wise.
Who's also in T.J. Hooker.
T.J. Hooker, that's right. For a little bit. Ray Wise was in Twin Peaks, and he shows back up in this episode. Also not the first time he was in Psych, so that's kind of cool.
Which episode is he in before this?
Not Scary Sherry. The one... I can't remember the name right now, but...
You could Google it, but no.
No.
All right.
That was your number 8?
That was your number 8.
That was my number 8. So you should do your number 7.
My number 7 is Fairy Tale. Oh, I keep doing it backwards. I'm sorry. Season 5, episode 7, Fairy Tale, where Sean and Gus are helping a police guard who is transporting inmates on this ferry.
F-E-R-R-Y, not F-A-I-R-Y.
Yeah.
Fairy.
Fairy tale.
Get it?
Get
it's
it.
Very
joke.
Funny.
But.
Actually, it's just a play on words. I don't know if that's
it's
a pun.
It's just a play on words, maybe. But it's a good episode. The inmates kind of take over the ferry, the F-E-R-R-Y, because we're good at spelling this week on We Watch Movies.
Bananas.
Bananas. It's a good episode. It's really funny.
Yeah. That is a great episode. I love that episode. My number 7 is Disco Didn't Die. It Was Murdered. Season 3, episode 5. In this episode, a case that Henry Spencer, Corbin Burnson's Henry Spencer, Sean's dad, solved back in the 70s, is overturned based on some issue with the evidence. I can't remember exactly what it is. Henry is determined to get back on the case. Sean and Gus, who are on the case, agree to let him help, and the three of them do a 70s retro episode, basically. They dress up in 70s garb to disguise themselves. They even end up buying a 70s Firebird or something like that to drive around in. That was once, you know, some evidence for the case. I love how they drive around.
There's one scene where Gus is driving and he parks super cool. He goes from driving and he slides into the parking spot, and they get out and Sean says, that would be really cool if you meant to do that.
And Gus is walking with a limp because he threw his hip out, and so they look like they're, you know, walking super all swaggy, cool. Like they're from the 70s. Great episode. I love that episode.
All right, my number 6 is Sean 2.0. I did it again. backwards, season 5, episode 8, Shaun 2.0. I love this episode. You first see Declan, who's played by Nestor Carboneau, who's also in Batman and in Lost.
Yeah.
And in the show, who has amazing eyelashes, which I think are fake. I think they're fake, but that's neither here nor there.
You know he doesn't wear eyeshadow.
How do you know? How do you know?
Because they have
okay,
asked him.
Derek Carr doesn't wear eyeshadow then either. Just kidding.
He doesn't.
I don't think he does either. I'm just kidding. But I love this. I like Declan. He's a really great character. And he's kind of just this millionaire who's...
He's Shaun, but better.
He's Shaun 2.0. But it's just really funny. Shaun totally hates him because Jules is into him. And he keeps stealing his thunder and everything. And he realizes that he's also faking. He's not actually this profiler. He's just this millionaire who's really smart. It's a good episode. I love this episode.
No, that's a great episode. My top six can go... This number six could easily be my number one. It is season 7, episode 11, Office Space. In this episode, Gus confronts his abusive boss by writing an angry letter and quits. After a moment of sanity, he goes back to apologize to see if he can get his job back, but he finds that his boss has been murdered and he's dead in his office. Gus's first reaction was to run until he realizes that his boss was holding in his hand the threatening note that Gus had written. So Gus contaminates the scene a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a wee bit.
And then goes to Shaun for help, who comes back and they absolutely destroy the entire crime scene. And everything that unfolds is absolute nonsense. And
I
it is amazing.
I forgot about that episode. That episode's amazing.
I love the flashback. The way the episode starts with Gus tapping on the glass of Shaun's house. And then he takes Shaun to the crime scene and they completely contaminate the scene. And then they clean the whole thing up and the cops arrive the next day and Jules shows up and she notices a coffee cup that is Shaun's coffee cup. And she confronts him about it and Shaun's like, I don't even know why I brought coffee. I don't like coffee. It's just something people do.
That's me.
I don't think I've had coffee this year.
Yeah, I can't handle coffee. Anyway, not so much about coffee. My number 5 is Mystery and Presents, season 4, episode 16. I'm gonna get it right at some point and say it in the right order. This episode...
Are you, though?
Maybe.
Probably not.
This episode consists of Abigail and Jules at the end are both in dire peril.
Rachel Lee Cook.
Yes, who is...
A 90s star.
A 90s star. And a Hallmark star, just like Maggie Lawson.
That was one of the best lines of Psych the movie, where there's a part of the Duke's plot against Jules is this manifesto called The Crimes of Juliet O'Hara. And Gus says, it sounds like the title of a Hallmark movie. And Shaun says, Gus, don't be silly. Jules would never be in a Hallmark movie.
That's one of my favorites.
Which is hilarious because Maggie Lawson has been in several Hallmark movies.
But... back to what I was saying. It's just a good episode. You see Mystery in. Is this one? I think this might be one of the first episodes he's in.
This is the first episode Mystery in is in.
And I think that...
Don't give it away too much. We haven't got to Mystery Yang yet.
But we did. We did a little bit in the movie. But yeah, I like that one. It's a good one. I think in this episode, like, Shaun is stressed out and he keeps telling Gus to just make, like, random jokes to make the mood lighter. And so like, Gus will just randomly start talking about waffles during these, like, serious conversations. And everybody's like, what is wrong with you?
Or dancing like Michael Jackson.
It's awesome. What is your number 5?
From season 7, again, episode 4, No Country for Two Old Men. Do you know which episode this is? So we've talked about Juliet's.
Jules's.
birth father. I don't know what that's called.
Biological
father. There we go. The words are hard.
Bananas.
William Shatner. But her stepfather is far less interesting.
Mm.
He's very plain. I think he is a tax guy. Or so we think. After Sean Hooks gets his dad to go on a breakfast date with Juliet's stepdad, the whole thing turns into this massive debacle where they end up in Mexico.
That's right.
And the average stepfather turns out to be almost as interesting as William Shatner's
or maybe
character.
Even her brother John Cena. No.
Juliet's got a very popular, famous family here, but it is a great episode with a ton of laughs, including, I think, Mexican Lassie.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
It's a great episode. I laugh so hard every time I watch it. I love that episode.
All right. My number four is Black and Tan, Crime is a Fashion, Season 2, Episode 15. I love this episode. Sean and Gus go undercover as male models, and it's just really funny. It's like stereotypical high fashion, and it's just fun. It's fun watching Sean and Gus in these roles. So that's my number four. There's lots of funny moments.
You are correct. There is a lot of funny moments.
My next episode is number four, The Greatest Adventure in the history of Basic Cable. It is from season 3, episode 4, and we get introduced to Sean's cool uncle. It is kind of a Indiana Jones type episode.
It is an awesome episode. I love this episode so much.
This isn't the Kevin Sorbo episode, is it?
No, it's not. But they go on this treasure hunt for pirate treasure, and it's just awesome. They go through all the different landmarks, and it's told from in retrospect. So we first see Sean and Gus and the whole gang in the police station giving a debriefing, and all these flashbacks and reiterations of different people telling, you know, the police how the story went. It's great. Sean's uncle is a great addition to the cast. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, that episode's awesome. My number three is Right Turn or Left for Dead, season 7, episode 8. This episode I really like because it starts out at Lassie's wedding, I believe, and in the one, it takes two different storylines the whole episode, and in the one storyline is what actually happens, where Jules finds out that Sean isn't really a psychic and he's just been faking it this whole time, because she finds something in his jacket that he let her use that she figures it out. But the whole episode follows whether he gave her the jacket or if he didn't give her a jacket, how it would have been different. And it's just really funny. Lassie gets a puppy. Gus eats gold dust, which makes him like swell up an allergic reaction in the one timeline. It's just a really good episode. I really like that episode a lot.
My number three from season 3, episode 16, the finale of the season, An Evening with Mr. Yang.
The whole series is really lighthearted and filled with comedy.
The rare exception to that is the Yin-Yang trilogy.
Yeah, it's true.
This is the first of that trilogy. Mr. Yang, a serial killer from years past, shows back up with a new challenge for the psychic Sean Spencer. And if she... the general gist is that the serial killer shows up every time they believe there is a worthy opponent. And Sean is that worthy opponent. No one has caught the Yin-Yang killer before. And subsequently, people have died. But this time they challenge Sean, and in the end, Sean captures the Yin-Yang killer.
It's a pretty dark episode.
Not as well did. Well made.
It's a very well done episode.
My number two episode is season 5, episode 12, Dual Spires.
Wow.
We talked about this one already, but I love this one.
Hey, mister. Are you Frederick Douglass?
Frederick Douglass. With Ray Wise, because we knew what his name was. And we talked about it before, but it's just a really good episode. It's really funny.
My number two, from season 6, episode 2, Last Night Gus. The Hangover parody. Oh. Sean, Gus, Lassie, Henry, and a couple other people wake up in the psych office in a very disoriented state, and they have no clue what happened the night before, and the whole episode is spent with them trying to figure out what happened the night before, and it is hilarious.
That episode's really good. Funny. My number one, you spoiled all of my top ranking episodes early on, but my number one is from season 3, episode 5, Disco Didn't Die, It Was Murdered.
That's your number one?
It's my number one. I love it. They all dress up in the 70s garb, they get the Thunderbird, and Gus is like attached to it because he ended up having to buy it out of the junkyard and ends up dying at the end of the episode, but it's a really great episode. Definitely one to watch.
I like it a lot. No, it's a great episode, and it happens to be in my top 10 because I thought it was a really good episode.
Well, it was my number one, so... No, just kidding.
So apparently you liked it more, or I just like psych more than you.
Yeah, sure.
So much so that my number 7 would be your number one, you know? You know how I'd be.
I'm not quite sure how that works, but okay. Yeah.
It's neither here nor there. My number one,
from season 4, episode 16, Mr. Yin Presents.
Well, that was at my bottom, so we evened out.
I think Mr. Yin Presents is... Well, clearly the best of the trilogy. Yang is caught. Ali Sheedy's Yang is caught at the end of the first installment of this trilogy. In the second installment, we find out that the Yin-Yang killer is not one person, but two people. Yang being the apprentice, Yin being the master. And what goes down is a Hitchcock-themed, literally a Hitchcock-themed episode where Yin sets up this game for the gang to follow, where they have to basically play out scenes from different Hitchcock films, and it is, I think, one of the most anxiety-riddled episodes of the whole series. People die. It is very intense.
Is this the episode where they're kind of in that bar, kind of that town?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Hitchcock set. Yeah. And, yeah, it's just really intense.
You feel unsafe
the end of the episode ends with, I think, Jules on top of a clock tower.
Yep.
And Sean has to rescue her, and
Abigail
under a pier. And it's really intense. Great episode. Like I said, I think it's the best of the whole series. Yang 3 in 2D is the finale of that trilogy, and... Obviously, I think it's the weakest of the three. It's still good. I love the whole trilogy in general. Lots of fun. Emma, any final thoughts before we roll on out of here?
I would mention La La Land again, but you know.
Another thing about La La Land is... I'm just kidding.
You guys are going to talk about it later. Not me.
Elijah and I will be talking about that in a little bit here. So,
I'm going to wrap us up now, if you won't mind. Elijah... We'll be back next week.
Yes, he will.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Skimping out again.
Next week, we will be back to our standard episodes. We will be on episode 8. We will be watching and discussing Jojo Rabbit and Logan Lucky in our first segment. In our second segment, we will be asking the question, if Best Scene was an Oscar category in 2014.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I will definitely be listening.
Will you though?
I will.
Emma, thanks for coming.
Things won't be bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Emma, thanks for coming on the podcast.
You're more than welcome.
Hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Yes.
So,
I have been Forrest. She has been Emma. This has been We Watch Movies. You guys have been beautiful. As always, see you next time. Stay beautiful.